for the sacrifice that he gave for us, that we might have a hope of eternal life to come. And what a week it has been, hasn't it? Over the last week, the world has become so focused and obsessed with the Russian invasion of Ukraine. We've had disastrous floods in the eastern states of Australia. And COVID continues to have an impact on our society and our community around the world. And on one hand, we can see prophecy being fulfilled. And on the other hand, we may wonder how God is using these things to change the world. And we remind ourselves that God is in control of all of the major world events. But God and Jesus are also directing our individual lives, aren't they? And some weeks we may feel that our lives are a disaster. And then other weeks we might feel that our lives are on track. But we remind ourselves that God is in control and his presence is always with us, as it is this morning. For the benefit of those online and on the phone, I am your brother John McColl, your chairman this morning, and our brother Graham Parcell will lead us in words of exhortation. And his theme this morning is, What's Important to You? As an introduction to our brother Graham's remarks this morning, he has asked that we take a reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2. I now ask our brother Graham to come forward and lead us in words of exhortation. And his theme again, What's Important to You?
Good morning, brethren, sisters and young people. Just in case you're wondering right the way through the exhortation why I put the sunflower there, is as many of you will guessed that Ukrainian national flower is a sunflower. And up until this week, they were the largest exporter of sunflowers oil in the world. How things have changed. And so listening to our brother Peter's beautiful playing there, I thought maybe, in a way, we could have the flower as a symbol of our brethren and sisters who are struggling in the Ukraine at the moment. And so maybe they'd be with us in spirit. They'd love to be here, of course. So I make no apologies for being emotional this morning. We had an emotional week. Thank goodness we're not part of it directly. But I think if we haven't shown some form of emotion in our own special way this week, then something's severely wrong with us. And we all share emotions in different ways. So our lovely teenagers at the front there, you've seen two of the most world-shaping and changing events in your little lives. The most world-changing events in the last 20 years in the form of COVID-19 and in the recent invasion by Russia into the Ukraine. What an intense couple of weeks the world has endured in both war and floods, which have and are affecting our brethren and sisters in the UK. I keep on saying the UK because it begins with UK, of course. The Ukraine and in Australia. And I'm sure this has left us sad, disgusted, helpless, puzzled, inspired, and a whole host of other emotions that we witness the things that are unfolding in the Ukraine. It started a couple of weeks ago when the so-called peacekeeping operation began with troops and tanks moving into the Ukraine. Just this week, fighting erupted around Europe's largest nuclear plant in the Ukraine, leading to this comment from the US Ambassador, Linda Thomas-Greenfield. By the grace of God, the world narrowly averted a nuclear catastrophe last night. Not in the form of nuclear weapons, but in terms of fighting around the largest nuclear power station in Zaporizhzhia. So thanks be to God that we didn't have another Chernobyl, because apparently it would have been 10 times worse. Well, whether it's a novel, a Disney film, or an action-adventure movie, there is always a hero and a villain. In the scenes unfolding in the Ukraine, it's no exception, as Volodymyr, which is the Ukrainian version of Vladimir, as you know, I'm sure, Volodymyr Zelensky, the hero, and Vladimir Putin, the villain, fight it out. But, you know, of course, the saddest thing about all of this is not a movie. This is real life. And for the people of the Ukraine, our brethren and sisters, their hearts must be failing them for fear. To them, possessions, careers, aspirations, dreams are all flying out of the bomb-shattered windows as they fight for survival in underground bunkers if they've stayed, or they've walked for 3 or 4 days with just a suitcase and all the little children to the safety of the West, whether it be in Poland or Romania, Moldova, Slovakia, Hungary, and other European countries. The Russian army is pushing uninvited through the entrance, and the Ukrainian people are heading out of the exit to the West. In fact, Russians themselves are starting to leave Russia in the chaos. But for you and I, young and old, the whole world has been touched by the resilience, the courage, and even humour of the Ukrainian people, who have won the hearts and minds of the people internally within the Ukraine and the rest of the world. In these days of 24-hour reporting, it's been touching to see how many human interest stories have inspired us all. The cardboard signs with handwritten messages. I've got to just get a bit more like that, haven't I, Ruby? Let's just do this. The cardboard signs with handwritten messages. 4 people to Bern in Switzerland. 3 people to Budapest. And many more signs that people have put up, giving free lifts in their own cars and accommodation in their particular countries in Europe, as Europe and indeed the whole world unites. People driving as far away as the Netherlands, about as far as you can go on land, westwards. And then they're coming back to get some more. For people who are going to make a temporary new life, or most probably a permanent new life. Kind people from all over the world enthusiastically donating what they can. For me, it's the most united I have ever seen our world. I know there is irony in there, because there is massive discord between the proverbial East and West. The scene in London at a collection centre where the public had donated clothes, nappies and foodstuffs was described as positive, beautiful chaos. What a wonderful way of phrasing it. As it was loaded into vans destined for the Poland-Ukraine border. And it's going on here. Australians, New Zealanders, everyone around the world are doing what they can. The way the world's united, as I said, has been quite breathtaking. But back to our central characters, Volodymyr and Vladimir. Both leaders are very different, aren't they, to say the least. The Ukrainian leader, Zelensky, as we now call him, is an ex-comedian who became president of the freedom-loving Ukraine, whilst his counterpart, Putin, probably doesn't go to many comedy shows. He rarely forces a smile unless he's mocking the former German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, by bringing a dog deliberately to a meeting, as you do, knowing she's frightened of dogs and giggling like a schoolboy as she recoils gently. That's sort of, call him a man. Strictly, that's true, genetically. But he's not behaving like a real man, is he? Putin rules by fear and has an obvious air of self-importance, while Zelensky has endeared himself to the world as he looks unselfishly to the welfare and the good of his people. I looked up what their names translated meant. Vladimir means great power or ruler of the world or ruler of peace. So Zelensky, Volodymyr, the Ukrainian equivalent, he's the peace man, although he's being drawn into the war. And of course, Vladimir is the great power or ruler, true to his name there. Putin means the way or the path, my way or the highway, basically, totally out of touch with truth and out of touch with his people. And yet we recall that the early Christians in the New Testament were called the people of the way. And so, as we know in life, there are two ways. There's God's way or there's man's way. And here, in symbol, although we're not saying that Zelensky is in any way perfect, but they're sort of representing good and evil, aren't they, in a way? This is how out of touch Putin is. He's insisting that the war is going to plan, despite taking only one major city. Zelensky, by the way, means green. And as we know, Zelensky, even though he's been called one of the drug-fueled Nazis that's looking after Ukraine, ironically, many of his family, going back through history, were killed in the Holocaust. And, of course, Zelensky is Jewish, so there's so much irony there, it's amazing. But I think we've been impressed with his humility, haven't we? As he dons on his little military T-shirt, his unshaven chin, he said, light will overcome darkness. He also said in humility, I'm not iconic, Ukraine is iconic. That's the man. Whereas Putin runs a regime of fear. If I were ever desperate enough to have have Putin as a candidate in my recruiting career, I would summarise in the first paragraph, you know, the personal summary at the start, and I had real difficulty because I had to just turn everything around, because usually they're all positive statements about what a great impact people can make in a positive way and what a great attribute they'll be for your company. So it was a bit tricky, but this is what I came up with. He's highly experienced in disposing of all rivals and able to fashion the rulers to suit his career goals. Ex-KGB, this ruthless, single-minded autocrat, will stop at nothing to get the job done for you. He will not let the happiness and health of others detract from the progress of the company. He can be relied upon to let nothing and no one interrupt his thinking and goal-setting priorities. Ability to listen to those who are in agreement with his objectives, with an uncanny ability to imprison, kill, or poison opponents to aid his career goals. He does not let emotions get in the way if he needs to silence anyone with an opinion at variance with his own. He will not let the truth dissuade him from his own propaganda and will be happy to stay in power at your company for the foreseeable future. Interview highly recommended to witness firsthand the ruthless determination of this highly experienced and autocratic dictator. Wouldn't want that on my CV, and I know you wouldn't either. So how on earth, well, I suppose he's an ex-comedian, how on earth you can get humour out of the situation? Well, here's an example, because Zelensky, in the midst of all the pressures, manages to make a humorous statement in return for the kind offer from the Americans to extract him by helicopter from Ukraine. When the US offered to help President Volodymyr Zelensky flee the Russian invasion, he responded, "The fight is here. I need ammunition, not a ride." And I'm sure that we've all heard that. It'll probably be appearing on T-shirts anytime soon. When a Russian tank broke down and the Ukrainian army went up to them, they said, "Would you like a tow back to Moscow?" And all of them, Russians and Ukrainians, laughed. There's only one person that wants this war to continue. It's all in God's plan, all of this, tragic though it is. And we look for better days, don't we? Well, we're remembering a man, the Son of God, this morning, who even forgave his enemies. I've got some other stuff here, but John will probably cover that tonight, so I don't want to sort of tread on his toes. But just suffice it to say that if you young people are wondering why on earth is Putin surrounding and attacking Ukraine, is because he wants to bring back the former Soviet Union, which he says the dissolution of the former Soviet Empire was the greatest geopolitical catastrophe of the century, and was an epidemic fostering separatist movements that spilled over to Russia itself. So basically he wants all his little satellite states, Estonia, Latvia, even Poland, going back a bit. But so the national Ukrainian character is said to be democratic, good judgment, endurance, thrifty, positive emotions, a tendency to compromise, a sense of humour, desire to demonstrate leadership qualities. And of course, the main and the most important feature of the Ukrainian character is the love of freedom. Ukrainian people are said to be patient, calm, balanced, diligent, offering mutual help and friendliness. And I think, to be honest, well, speaking for myself and Jenny, and by the way, belated thanks to Jenny for producing the flowers. Sunflowers, I think we all love sunflowers, but Jenny and I have got a particular passion for sunflowers. They're just almost human, the way they follow the sun. And of course, the analogy is for us, following the Son of God and turning our head towards him and his ways. We've fallen in love with the Ukrainian people's humour, resilience and courage. They've won the hearts of the world in their sunny and optimistic way. And you'll remember that the doomed Malaysian commercial airliner MH17 was downed by a Russian missile. And one of the few people to actually shirt front, to use Australian parlance, is Julia Bishop. Was she the foreign minister at one stage? Yeah, Julie Bishop. She went up to Putin, and good on her. She really said to him, "Look, this is your fault." But it went down in a field of sunflowers, and now we see so much blood on those fields of sunflowers. Well, what's happening in Russia? There's a woman getting in touch with her emotions in this example. After giving her cat to her family to look after, a 29-year-old woman flew to Israel on Sunday before prices rose even further, worried that things in Moscow can only get worse. And believe you me, they will. "I'm ashamed I haven't stayed in Russia," she said, "that I'm not fighting to the end, not protesting in the streets," she said. "But if you go against the war, they arrest you. And that this law, and there is a law on treason. Fear, fear, fear. The Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear. So if you and I, in any shape or form, are using fear because we're intellectually superior, or we've got more resources, or we're more intelligent, even spiritually speaking, that we're considerably more humble than you, then let's just chuck all that out the window. And let's have some humility. And I say these things to myself, because there's no fear. There's no room for fear in the Ecclesia of any shape or form. So, Putin's new law has just been passed in parlance by all his Muppets. You can get 15 years in jail for spreading intentionally fake information about the armed forces, as Moscow fights back for what it says is an information war. So we've probably gone on too long about that, haven't we, Jenny? She said this morning, and I listened to her, of course, "Don't go on about Ukraine all morning." And I said, "Yes, my lady." In true Thunderbird style. Yeah, the best quote I've seen on the wayside pulpit, you've probably seen it yourselves, it's an absolute gem. "May the power of love overcome the love and power." It's not just out there, it's in your marriage, it's in your company, whether you're a boss or an employee. It's in the Ecclesia. "May the power of love overcome the love of power." Wow. Wish I'd come up with that one. What a classic. We've seen all these rulers through history, haven't we? We've seen, the bad pharaohs. We've seen Nebuchadnezzar. We've seen Nero. And then latterly, in the secular context, Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot, and now Putin. The world is full of them. And until Jesus comes back and puts everything right, we're going to have trouble, aren't we? Now, I think if the world, you'll like this one, Sue, I think if the world was run by more Jacinta Ahern's, more Julia Bishops, more Angela Merkel's, we would see a very different world. Because women don't have a macho persona. Women don't lead by pride. They're not perfect, neither are us men. But I think you'd see a very different world, sisters, ladies. You really would. And we have seen some mothers really stepping out there. You probably saw the incident where the Russian soldier was captured by the men. And you'll remember, let's just read this. Russian captive soldiers cry for their mothers. This is the Russians coming in. They don't even know why they're there, most of them. Ukraine has invited Russian women to come to Kiev, as the Ukrainian, and collect their sons, many of whom appear to be inexperienced and frightened teenage conscripts, such as you boys, if you're 18. In a field surrounded by people he'd been sent to fight, a young Russian prisoner of war hungrily gulped down the tea and bread they offered him. A Ukrainian woman calmed him. This is a Ukrainian woman calming one of the invaders who's just got out of his tank, telling the soldier not to worry. Using her phone, she made a video call to his mother. As soon as his mother appeared on the screen, he burst into tears. And she said to him, "Everything is okay. Everything is okay," his female captor said, while others stroked his back. I mean, this is, in as much as you did it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. This is amazing, isn't it? Natasha, the Ukrainian mother, see, when you get mothers talking to mothers, that's what makes the difference. We're going to have a look at a couple of other mothers in a minute. Some of them were healthy in what they were saying, some of them weren't. Ukrainian lady saying to Natasha, the Russian mother of the soldier, "Natasha, God be with you. We will call you later." It's like the prodigal son, isn't it? You know, here's the man, put him on the donkey, dress his wounds, take him to the hotel, and I'll come back in a couple of days and remunerate you for any more expenses. We'll call you later. But don't worry, Natasha. He's alive and healthy. It's so humbling, isn't it? And it's circulated. Surprise, surprise, young people, it's gone viral. What a surprise. Unbelievable, isn't it? Well, we read of another mother in Matthew 20 now. So Matthew 20. This is a mother who probably wasn't thinking of the right thing. She was thinking of what place her sons could play in the kingdom of Jesus. So verse 20, the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus and her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favour of him. She's just taking him to one side to say, "Look, can you, see my son's right?" She said, verse 21, well, Jesus said, "What is it you want?" He knew anyway what she wanted. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left in the kingdom." She wanted power and authority and status and felt, probably innocently that her sons were as good as anyone. But it wasn't just, "Please just find me the place of a doorkeeper or any job in your kingdom." This was, you're in the middle, Jesus, obviously you're the king, but could you just have the next two important seats, the right and the left, your way around, left and right, could you just give them to my sons, if that's okay? You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. On the cross? What she was really saying was, look, let that start now. And yes, of course, they'd be prepared to go on the cross, on the left and right. And then they would be on the left and the right, resurrected in the kingdom. She may not have thought that, but that's where Jesus took her. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom have been prepared by my Father. Because there were people like Peter the Apostle and Paul who were killed for their faith. But it was all about authority, wasn't it? When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers, and they started getting competitive. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And we're seeing a lot of lording over, aren't we, in the world at the moment. Their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so in a small way, we have this contrast, don't we, between Zelensky, who is serving humbly the people, and Putin, who's just looking for power and looking out for himself. He doesn't care about those around him. It's all about power and being authoritarian. Now, by contrast, and we've had a look at this before, I can just read this to you, the centurion who wanted his servant healed was a man of authority, but he did just what Jesus had requested there in humbling himself by saying, look, I'm not even worthy to have you come under my house. And number one, I'm going to demote myself from the centurion who's in charge of all these men. When he said, yeah, I'm a man who's got lots of people under me, he wasn't saying, hey, you know, I'm a CEO, you know, and I'm an MD, or I own my own company. You know, he was actually saying, I know what authority is, and I'm giving my authority away because I realise I'm with you, Jesus. And you are the Son of God, and you can say the word without even being in my house and heal my servant. Did Jesus see it that way? Oh my goodness, yes he did. The servant replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have come under my roof. Just say the word. Jesus heard this, verse 10 of Matthew 8, if you're taking notes. He was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. So number one, he was saying what amazing faith he had. But number two, he was saying, actually Israel, your faith is not that good at times. This is why the Gentiles were the grafting branch, weren't they? They came in to make the Jews jealous of the Gentiles. You know, how come you're giving the Gentiles a place in your kingdom? Well, it's because you're not coming up with the goods. So they're supposed to be jealous, the Jews, as you know, of the Gentiles, and get their act together and be more like they should be in Jesus. Now, at the cross, we know that women always played an amazing part in Jesus' life. They just knew what to say, they knew what to do. I mean, women are like that, aren't they? Men and women are different, we know that. Both have relative strengths and weaknesses. But women, they're so... Sorry, guys, I've said this before, but they're so far ahead of us in their thinking. You know, they're over here. Sometimes too far, you know. This could happen, that could happen. What about... Whoa. Let's just take it step by step. So, you know, if you can get a bit of male and female together, it's a perfect union, isn't it, darling? So... there were the women around the cross. Near the cross of Jesus, John 19, if you're taking notes, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved, which was John, wasn't it, standing nearby, you know, this is a man who is in agony. I had a pretty wicked sore throat for 4 days recently, and you know, you just cannot think of anything else but, oh, just take this sore throat. I know it's a bit man flu, but it was a bit bad. This is Jesus on the cross, pinned by his hands and his feet. He's been beaten, he's been bruised, he's been physically and verbally beaten up from place to place. And he's looking out from the cross, just saying, right, okay, my mum looks looking after. John, you can do that. Wow, it's unbelievable, isn't it? But not with Jesus, because that's what he was like. So he saw his mother there, and John. Woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home and became his son and she his mother. By contrast, in the Ukraine, one woman, one mother, told a reporter that her 18-month-old son had just learnt a new word, bum. Now, very sad. Well, I think we're going to have this, mate, what's important in our lives, another time. So, that's another talk. I think we had two talks almost schizophrenically going on at once here, and then Ukraine stepped in and just... but one thing I will share with you, and you're going to think, oh, sport is just so passe and so irrelevant these days, which, you know, in a sense it is, but it can take our focus away. But just listen to this. Speaking prior to news of the postponement request, that's the postponement of the game, the World Cup game, real football guys, Scotland and the Ukraine, Scotland and Southampton midfielder Stuart Armstrong said, football takes a back seat in a situation like this when everyone is thinking of the welfare and the suffering of the people of the Ukraine. Well, I thought, there's an exhortation right there. And in our next exhortation, which is What's Important to You, starring me, we're going to be probably talking about things like the fact that everything should take a back seat to our faith, shouldn't it? Sport, irrelevant. You know, careers, irrelevant. You know, holidays, irrelevant. What money you've got, how much your house is worth, irrelevant. What we're talking about here is that if we are, you and me, talking to me as well, if we are seeking first the kingdom of God, then whether we're in a war situation or whether we're observing it from afar, everything, and we know this, everything needs to take a back seat to our lives. It's just that things like the Ukraine focus our minds, don't they, into what's really important. You can't imagine these poor souls trying to entertain their children in underground bunkers, whether it's a subway or their own house or a railway station. They're not thinking, I need to get that project fixed for work next week. Or, oh yes, so we were going to go to Switzerland for our holiday. Or, I need to put that extension off. Or, how's my pension doing? How's my share portfolio? It's actually, goodness me, we've got some potatoes, gherkins and some crusty old bread and two bottles of water to keep us going for a week, and then we don't know what's happening. That's where everything takes a backseat, isn't it? But you and I, we've got this opportunity to do all we can to pray. That's the biggest thing we can do, brothers and sisters, for our and young people, for our dear brothers and sisters in the Ukraine. We can pray our guts out, can't we? It's in the parable of the rich fool, isn't it? He was blessed with all this grain. And he said, right, I'm going to build some extensions here. We're going to have some bigger barns. You know, we're going to put, you know, blue-scoped steel roofs. We're going to get everything. It's all going to happen. We're going to be set up for years to come. And Jesus said to him, watch out, be on your guard for all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. He said, I'll tear down my barns, build bigger ones. And he says to himself, he's talking to himself, I'll say to myself, you've plenty of grain, many years, take life easy, just relax, drink and be merry. But God said, you fool, this night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you've prepared for yourself. This is how it would be with whoever stores up thing. What are you storing up at the moment? What am I storing up at the moment? Very, very helpful verse 21 of Luke 12. This is how it will be, however, with whoever stores up things for himself, but is not, and here's the positive, rich towards God. So if the world and possessions and status is that way, then we need to turn our back on it and be rich towards God. That's what we need to do, isn't it, young people and brethren and sisters? We need to beware of putting our faith in barns, don't we? We all do it in various ways. We put status on, you know, my one probably is, I consider myself to be quite fit. And then you get humbled because COVID comes your way, so you realise you're not invincible, which we know anyway. But everybody's got something, whether it's their intellect or how much they know, or how important they are, what their job is, or whatever it is. We've all got something. It might be the way you look. You think, well, I'm quite pretty, obviously not me. But we've all got something, haven't we? So it's not the time to finger point. It's the time to say, what do I need to do? Jeremiah 9 tells us what to boast about. So we're not boast about how much we've got, how much we know, or who we are, how important we are. This is what we can boast about. So make a note of this, guys. You can boast. You can show off, okay? This is what you can show off about. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let the one who boasts boast about this. So here's what you can boast about. That they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises. And here's what you can boast about. So you boast about knowing God, and you can boast, well, not literally, but you can be proud inwardly, if you like, of being kind. I exercise kindness. Do you exercise kindness? Do you exercise justice? Do you exercise righteousness? Because if you do, God says, for in these I delight. God absolutely delights in us when we're kind and we stick up for what's right and we stick up for what's true. Now, it's not often you can say that Luke 21 applies to the day of your exhortation. And I didn't plan this, of course. Luke 21, verse 20. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation. That's happening. Kingdom against kingdom. That's happening. There will be great earthquakes. Well, 3.8, wasn't it? And 5.7 in Indonesia. And we had two, apparently. Famines and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But stand firm, the NIV says, and you will win life. When these things begin to take place, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh. Lift up your heads. Follow the sun like the sunflower does. So what will happen next? We nearly saw a worse nuclear event than Chernobyl this week. The world's on high alert. And I'm sure that we are, and we should be, including me, on high alert for the return of our Lord. It may be this afternoon, before we even have time to have that great talk I'm sure John's going to give us. It may be next week, it may be next month. It may take some time. Maybe the Ukraine will hold out and Putin has said, right, if I can't have you, I'll go down, I'll be drawn down to Israel. And that's when things would really start getting interesting. I'm sure we'll get some more details tonight. But Sister Lainey, I think some of these are coming your way, the birthday girl. I can see our dear brother Glyn with a twinkle in his eye at... One eye would be twinkling because he's so excited that the event's coming to pass. And the other eye would be crying, I think, because he was a lovely man and he was a warm and compassionate man. And we know we'll see him again in the kingdom, return of our Lord. But he'd be so excited, I think, by the things that we're seeing. This is what the Lord Almighty says in Zechariah 8. Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each of them will come hand in hand because of their age. And unlike Ukraine and many streets around the world, The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there in peace. Many peoples would come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mount of the house of the Lord. He will teach us his ways, not man's ways. He will judge between the nations." And what you've probably seen, young people and the rest of us, you've seen that with the best intentions of NATO, the United Nations, the Security Council, the leaders of the world, they are absolutely powerless at the moment to actually solve the problem. And the reason why is because they don't want to start a third world war. I mean, Putin's already about to try and start it because he hates the way the West has tightened the sanctions. He'll use any excuse, but countries of the world are holding back. But the only one who's going to judge between the nations and settle disputes for the people is Jesus. He's the only one that will allow people to beat their swords into ploughshares, so that places like the Ukraine, which is one of the biggest wheat producers in the world, which is the biggest sunflower producer in the world, and many other things it does, they'll be able to use their resources. They won't be training for war, producing Molotov cocktails and cobbling, you know, a land army together, almost like Dad's army. If it wasn't sad, it would be funny. We're coming to a time, brothers and sisters, when there will be peace in the world. And you and I have got a special message for our friends at school, our neighbours. Maybe some of them will be here tonight. We have the King of Peace on our side. Yes, we will do all we can to help and alleviate anyone's pain, both here or in other countries. And we will pray, but we will keep the words of Jesus in our hearts, that my peace I leave with you. And so for the sake of our poor brothers and sisters in, you know, people who've lost their houses in the floods, for the sake of brothers and sisters in the Ukraine, other parts that are in trouble, we pray that Jesus will return very soon. And we pray that our prayers will bring, even it forward a day or a week, that Jesus will come back and the world will be full of sunshine again.